Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks, Beck. How good. How are we this morning? So good. Good to see you, Aiden. Mate, it looked like a nice restaurant you went to last night with your bride. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are a lucky man. I was going, man, I'm having Maccas. This is great, you know, this is good. There's one for the husbands. Take your wife out for dinner this week. There you go. Be like Aiden, okay? Young romantic, you know, over here. Hey, it's so good to be here. It feels like it's been a while since I've had a chance to share, actually, because we've had quite a few guest speakers, which doesn't often happen here. And last week we had Matt Flegg come and share, and he was such a blessing, wasn't he? Just sharing about how we can hear from God, kicking off this Hearing from God series. And I pray that in the last week you've heard from God like never before, or at least ask God to speak. Anyone done that? God speak to me this week, just really speak to me. Anyone had a moment where you really felt like God spoke? Anyone? Okay, have you, okay, good, that's good, that's 2%, great. We're going to continue this Hearing from God message and how to hear from God, because I believe wholeheartedly if you can hear from God clearly, your whole faith walk just gets transformed. Like you just step into a whole new space of faith and stepping out and being Jesus in the community, because you just know. God's already told me. I knew that this was going to happen. And when it comes to hearing from God, if you are new to church here, we follow a living God, okay? A living God that can speak to us, wants relationship with us, wants to communicate with us, but there's a way in which we can hear. And that's what we're going to be looking over the next few weeks. I must admit, since Matt shared last week, I've just been like, God, just speak through that lens that he talked about. He's like, God always speaks through the lens of love, through that filter of love. And you know his voice when it's that filter of love. And it doesn't come with condemnation or anxiety, any of that kind of stuff. And even for myself this week, I've had these moments where I've really been seeking God's voice. Like, God, I need you to speak right now. So for things when it comes to the church, decisions with family. Like Thursday night, I was driving around the city just praying, going, God, you need to show me what to do. And people must have thought I was talking to myself in the car. I'm like, show me what to do. I was driving the full coast, you know, up and down. Show me what to do. And it's so interesting. After about 2 hours of driving, God just dropped into my spirit, just call a member of our church, talk to him. And I called him and I just feel like the peace of God hit me and everything in that conversation was exactly what I needed to hear. But it took about 2 hours of me just fighting, going, God, speak to me. And then God spoke through a member in this church with wisdom. But I've got to say this, I actually believe wholeheartedly that some of us hear from God but ignore his voice. Like imagine if you, just hands up real quick. I love this because I love working in schools. So I always get hands up. Like, Becca, as you know, you're not talking to a school classroom, right? But I do love a good survey, okay? And so hands up here, if you had the opportunity to get an email every day from God to tell you exactly what to do with your day, who would like to get that email? Who reckons after about day 4 you just delete the email? Put it as spam. No, I'm serious. Because if we had that much clarity, then you have zero excuse to say no. You have zero excuse to be disobedient. Because it's that clear and it's going to put you in a position of a bit of vulnerability. Because God has called us to do things outside of our comfort zone. And every day he's calling us to step out in faith, like Beck talked about. If God sent you an email every day and you knew it was absolute truth, this is God's download, would we actually read the email? I think we'd be more like kids, you know, at night when the parent says, it's bedtime, and they're like, blah, 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 I can't hear you. I'm not going to bed. It's more fun not going to bed. You see it, you're like, this kid has been told 30 times. And the parent's like, I don't know what you're talking about, mum and dad. You're speaking another language. Like selective hearing. And I actually think in our church, there's more selective hearing going on than we actually give credit to. And we're not actually saying yes to the things God's calling us to. Interesting. Including myself, by the way. I'm not just saying you. I just think that if we're honest with ourselves, God is constantly speaking. He's constantly nudging us on which way to go in our lives, constantly stirring our hearts to do what's right, to do His way. But understand that when you're talking about hearing the voice of God, there's actually two voices going on. There's also the voice of Satan. There's actually an enemy that has a voice which you can tune into as well. And you've got to know the voice of God and the voice of Satan, and then you've got to choose which one you listen to. The whole time, God is stirring our hearts and our spirits and our minds to go and do what is right, to choose the narrow path it talks about in Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Understand that the voice, God's voice, is constantly trying to lead us to that narrow gate. Constantly trying to lead us to that narrow gate which brings life, not death. But understand that there's an opposition to that. And the fact is, that gate, by the way, Jesus refers himself to being that gate in John 10:10. He says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." You know, when you go to Jesus, when you choose Jesus, that gate every day, when you choose that voice to follow, you go through the gate and you find pasture. You find rest. You find peace. You find joy. You find love. You find the things you need. But it says straight after that, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief comes to kill and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life abundant. You know, after following Jesus, probably majority of my life, probably from a very young age, there's been times in my childhood I remember moments of hearing from God and testing God and growing up in a Christian family that believe that God moves and speaks and things like that. After probably 30 years of this thing, I've never been more desperate to hear God's voice, because I want absolute clarity. I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do. I don't want to just be going through life going, "That might work. That might be right." And as I said the other day, just the other night, driving around, "God, show me which way to go." And I believe wholeheartedly, God is constantly speaking. He is constantly speaking. In fact, we just have to tune in. We have to tune into His voice. I believe constantly when I say He's speaking, He's always calling us out to be a blessing in the community. If God ever stirs you, if you're ever somewhere and God stirs something within your heart to help someone in need, you know it's the voice of God because it's in line with God's heart. I don't think you could ever go, "Oh, God just stirred me to help that person," and go and buy them something, and then you go, "Nah, it wasn't God. Get behind me, Satan." Like, you know what I mean? You can't, like, it's in line with God's character. I remember a few years ago just seeing the heart of God and the voice of God stirring on multiple people to see a miracle come about. Remember, I was on social media and I saw a mate of mine who hadn't been in church for years, far away from God, and he'd put up this big post, this rant about he had gone for a surf and someone stole his surfboard. And I remember thinking, that really sucks for this guy because he has no money. His number one thing to do is surfing. And I know how much impact that has on his life. And he was, you know, ripping apart the person that stole his surfboard. And I'm sitting there going, I know I need to be a solution here, but I don't own a surfboard because I can't surf. And I, quite frankly, I had no money to buy a surfboard, but I knew that God was speaking. I knew He was stirring something within me. You need to be a solution here. And I did pray about it. I remember praying about it and leaving it. And then later that evening, I caught up with another mate of mine who was in church. And I was chatting to him about how my mate's surfboard got stolen. And he goes, "Bro, I've had a surfboard sitting in my garage for, I reckon, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. It's worth about $800. It's in mint pristine. Like, it's great. And I've been thinking about selling it, but he can have it." And I'm like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, just come and get it." So that exact same day that this guy posted on social media, I went and picked up this surfboard, strapped it to my car, drove it actually into the city in Brizzy here, knocked on my mate's door, and I said, "Hey, Dave." And he's like, "Whoa, what are you doing here?" I said, "I saw what happened today, and I was praying about it, and another mate of mine who's a Christian felt on his heart he wants to give you this surfboard." And he just cried. He's like, "What?" He goes, "That's way better than my piece of trash." So I gave him the surfboard. So it has nothing to do with me really, other than just being obedient to maybe share this stirring on my own heart on that day. And it was a beautiful thing. About 3 days later, I contacted him and how's the surfboard? And he goes, dude, I had the most euphoric experience in the surf the other day. God spoke to me in the surf. And I said, what do you mean? I just felt the love of God in the surf. I was surfing, I was carving up on this new board and I just felt the full overwhelming love of God in the surf. God is constantly speaking. But are we actually in tune to the things? It just blows me away how often God is stirring people to do stuff, stirring people to act in a certain way. Even last week, I hope Troy doesn't mind me mentioning it. I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, Troy. If you were here at the worship night on Sunday last week, we were in a pretty awesome space of worship. And God just dropped in my spirit to get Troy Wegner up here just to pray for him. And I actually didn't know that felt God was going to actually say, mate, I want you to sing. So poor Troy gets on the spot, put on the spot. But I called him up. And after the service, Troy said to me, you know, from the second we walked into this church tonight, I just knew I was going to be on that stage tonight. I just knew. And he goes, I was freaking thinking, what the heck would I be on the stage there tonight? But I just knew that I knew that I knew. And I said, isn't it funny, Troy? We sometimes get so overwhelmed by the fact that God actually speaks. Like we actually become like, oh my gosh, God actually spoke. But it shouldn't be like that as Christians. We should be expectant that the voice of God is constantly speaking. We shouldn't be surprised when God speaks. We should be surprised when he's silent. We should actually be in a position going, God, where are you? I need you to speak again. And maybe that's a moment of repentance coming back to him and saying, please open your voice again. Open up and share with me. Our expectations as our positioning as a Christian, if you follow Jesus, shouldn't be one day I hope God speaks. Instead, God speaks to me daily. And I was reminded by that just this week. I was actually reading a book by Joyce Meyer on hearing from God. And she talks about this expectation. There's this expectation. You should come into your day-to-day going, God, speak to me today. Show me which way to go. Be expecting that the Holy Spirit is on the move. He's going to show up, show off. This is our positioning. And maybe today is just to stir your faith again. Maybe you're like, man, I don't have that. In this book, Joyce actually shares a little bit about it. If you want to get the name of the book, you can come and see me after. But she talks about how in Luke 11:13, we know the scripture. This says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And she says, hey, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can hear the voice of God. And it's a good gift. God wants to open your ears. If you want the Holy Spirit, you want to hear from God, it's a free gift, an absolute free gift. And, you know, as I've been thinking about this free gift of hearing from God, I'm like, God, you've spoken to me so many times in my lifetime. I've become pretty accustomed to it. I just know now what that stirring is when it's you. It actually kind of throws me off kilter until I move into a place of obedience. But what's it like for someone who's followed Jesus their entire life, but they've never actually heard the voice of God? What's it like? And last night, I mean, all week I've been meditating on this. And just last night, God dropped it into my spirit at 10:30 last night. He said, it's like a cochlear implant. I know nothing about cochlear implants. So I Googled what a cochlear implant is, you know. Like that's how God speaks to me. He's like, he tells me what it is. Then I go, oh, what's that, right? And so then I find myself online last night for about an hour watching YouTube videos of people getting cochlear implants. People who can see, they can speak, they can, everything about their life with their family, mum and dad, they can communicate, but they've never ever heard the voice of their parents. They've never been able to hear. And then this technology gets implanted. And then you watch for the first time when they turn on the cochlear implant and the little baby who's never heard its mother's voice just starts to tear up. And here I am, a blubbering mess, watching cochlear implants. Last night, I'm like, oh, that's amazing. There was one video, it was 1,000 people here for the first time. That's a long video. But everyone had me in tears. Oh, not another one. But it was like God said, it's like a cochlear implant, as. You can see, you've been in church, you know God's real, you've got this communication, you've figured it out. But what the Holy Spirit does, he comes and switches it on like, whoa! I've heard my dad's voice for the first time. I'm in tune. I'm emotional right now because this faith thing is not just here. It's like, whoa! You're speaking so loud. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit, this is awesome. And I had to get back to writing the preach a couple hours later. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to touch you and reveal to you the voice of God. Earlier on, we just sang about God rest on us. The Holy Spirit rest on us. And there's some things about hearing from God when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I just want to go over these things first too. Understand some simple things. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. Jesus' plan was always to leave. And he says, I'm going to leave so you can hear and learn more from the Holy Spirit. It says that in John 1, 32 to 33. John 16, 13 says, understand the Holy Spirit cannot contradict the Father. The Holy Spirit only speaks what God speaks. It's not some kind of new age, weird kind of ghost thingy over here that has new ideas. And it's completely in line with the Word of God. Only speaks what God speaks. It's not weird. It's very clear. And it will not bring confusion but clarity in your life. You want to read up who the Holy Spirit is and what he does? You can look into John 14, 15 to 16. But I'm just going to come back to the start. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reside within us, to invade us, to take control of our physical being, which is a bit of a weird thing, right? You're like, whoa, you know, you're saying, come and enter in me. I know that my whole life, you hear these people say, we're going to pray that Jesus come into my heart. Now, that's weird. It sounds weird, but when you understand the biblical principle of actually saying, Holy Spirit, come and enter me, when we look into the scriptures, we understand it. You might have heard this passage before, and you've ever heard someone say, the body is a temple. Ever heard that? Your body is a temple, Az, so go and exercise, you know? I'm like, man, my temple's an overrun Buddhist temple with monkeys on it, you know, if it's a temple. But that's not what the scripture says. You know, like, that's not what it's saying. It's not about your health. The full scripture, people misquote this and they take, oh, the body's a temple. No, what the scripture actually says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who lives in you and was given to you by God, you do not belong to yourself. When you say, Holy Spirit, come in, this is not about whatever the heck I want to do. You are now being owned by God. He has bought you at a price through the blood of Jesus. He bought you. And so now you're not your own. And when it comes to this temple, I think sometimes we just get so caught up. You've got to understand this all comes about in the moment where Jesus is crucified and he lifts up his spirit, okay? If you're new to church, understand this. Before Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit resided in a man-made temple, in a place called the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could go in that place and bring your request. Like you'd go to the priest, he'd go in that Holy of Holies and take your request into that space. Only the high priest could experience the Holy Spirit. That was the temple. But what we see in Matthew 27, verse 50, it says this, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain in the temple, they say is about a hand thick, okay? And it didn't get torn from bottom to top, how a man came from top to bottom. It had to be a supernatural experience. And it says this, that at this moment where the curtain's torn, the earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of there. Well, I don't know if I'd want to be there. Anyway, but I'm glad you do. Zombies. Anyway, they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." You need to understand in this moment when Jesus has lifted up his spirit, everything changes and returns to Genesis, how it began. Because in that moment, no longer was the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. In that moment, the Holy Spirit leaves and goes back to where it was right in the beginning of Genesis. It's now resting on the surface. Back in the beginning. The Holy Spirit is now just moving in and out everywhere. It is on the surface. Just like in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We actually sang about that in Rest on Us. And we see the Spirit of God has not just left the temple, it's actually encountered some dead bodies. And just the touch of the Holy Spirit brings righteous men back to life. Like the power of the Holy Spirit, right there in that moment, there's people who have lived a righteous life. The Spirit of God hits them. They're like, "We're back again, baby." We go back to the beginning, the presence of God is now outside of a physical temple. The breath of God is now available again to raise men back to life. These men got raised to life just like the beginning when the breath of God was put into man in Genesis. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That same Holy Spirit's now on the move again, and people are like, "Whoa, I'm back alive." The breath is back. The Holy Spirit is on the move and it wants to find a place to rest again. Understand this. In the scripture it says, before you have the Holy Spirit, you're dead already. You're like the dead man in the grave needing the Spirit to wake you up. We were dead before receiving Jesus. We were dead already. It says it in Ephesians 2 verse 1. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at that time, gratifying and craving our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we by nature were deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are too being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Understand this. The temple, the building, is no longer the place the Holy Spirit resides. You are the living temple that the Holy Spirit resides. You can have the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're like a brick that connects to other bricks in this community that builds the full temple of God. And the cornerstone which every building block goes from to begin with is Jesus Christ alone. When you have the Holy Spirit and you work with the Holy Spirit, you can hear from the Holy Spirit, his voice will always direct you one way, back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. The amount of times I've heard people say, "God told me this." And I go, there is no scriptural context for that. People with relationships, I think we blame God for a lot when it comes to hearing from God, especially with our relationships. "God told me to marry you." And the girl's like, "Kill me now." We've all heard it. We've all seen it. I remember working with a young guy years ago, him and his girlfriend, on and off, on and off, on and off. "God said this, but God said that. We're going to get married. God did this." Anyway, I remember one time just having to say to this guy, "I don't think God deserves the rap for your rubbish relationship." because your relationship is not connected to Christ and everything you're doing is not in obedience to Christ. So don't you dare bring Christ into it and His voice. We need to be really in tune with the Holy Spirit and be careful when we start saying, oh, well, this is God's voice and that's God's voice. Understand there are two voices. The devil wants to destroy you and he will put all sorts of voices in your head. I've heard people walk away from their marriages. God said He wanted me to be happy. Did He? Really? Or did God want you to be obedient? Did God want you to work on this stuff? Now, I'm not saying all marriages last and it takes two to tango. I understand that. But when you bring God's voice into it, you be careful. It's really serious stuff. What did God really say? Or what are you really, are you in line with the foundation? The Holy Spirit wants to speak. He wants to speak to you today. He wants to give you that implant where you can hear so clearly that you're actually in a position where you actually, if you choose to be disobedient, you know it. You're actually in a place where like, oh my gosh, I know I'm deliberately rebelling against the word of God. Like I know I'm doing the wrong thing because He wants you to be able to go, you know what? I know I'm in line with the word of God. But He wants to give you that clarity if you want it. The early followers of Jesus, you remember the moment that everything changes. The Holy Spirit is now resting upon the earth again. It's residing. It's after the resurrection of Christ. Jesus says, go and wait in the upper room. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. They don't even know what that means. And all of a sudden, what happens? They get hit by the Holy Spirit and a fire. The Holy Spirit rests upon them. And all of a sudden, these tongues come out. They start speaking other languages. But it's not just about the tongues that's really important. The thing that's really important, they end up being full of faith, full of courage. They go from whimpering, crying, scared for their life, people in a room, and they go out and they spread the gospel at whatever cost. You know why I believe they had the faith to do that? They heard God's voice so clearly. You want something in your life when it comes to faith? Clarity in hearing His voice. It'll keep you strong. You know, Paul wrote this in Romans 8:31, and I don't think you can write this unless you hear God's voice clearly. He says this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He goes, no, in all these things in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These early apostles, these early followers, they knew the voice of God. They knew the accent of God, like Matt Flegler talked about last week. I loved how he talked about God has an accent. It's not another whole other language you've got to figure out. It's just another accent. And you can be in tune to that accent. If you're wondering, well, what does that accent sound like? He talked about the fruits of the Spirit. He talked about it always comes through the filter of love. But you've got to understand, when someone says that God spoke and God said this, does it come through this filter, which we find in Galatians 5:19? Do we go and do we find the fruit of the Spirit in their talk, in their language, in the way that they share about how God spoke? Does it come from a place of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Or is the voice actually sounding more like the opposition to God, which is talked about earlier in this chapter? It says the acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. It says, I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's very clear black and whites with understanding the voice of God. Unfortunately, over the 30 years of following Jesus, I've heard all sorts of things come out of people's mouths that have brought about death into people's lives because they haven't spoken with the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit also brings about conviction. Big difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction will bring you back to the cornerstone that is Jesus. and say, by grace I'm saved, and you know what? The old is gone. I have repented of my past. And it says in the scripture, when you repent and you say, God, I'm sorry for my sin, he says, I wipe it clean. You're now a son or daughter, and you have an inheritance in heaven. You don't have to hold on to your past anymore. It's gone. It is forgiven. That's what repentance is. It's a 180, turning away from your old self, saying, I'm living for myself. I'm following whatever voice I want to listen to. Now saying, I tune into the voice of Jesus. I only follow Jesus. I ask for forgiveness. He wipes it clean. He says, start fresh. And he says, now let me speak to you. Let me build your life based on Jesus Christ alone. The Holy Spirit wants to reside within you. He wants to speak to you clearly every day. I'm going to be honest. It takes a while to tune in. Sometimes I got it terribly wrong. I got some doozies over the years. I thought it was God. It wasn't. It's just the cheese pizza from last night. There's moments where you step out and you go, and you do have to, you know, it's a faith step. You're like, and then the person, no, okay. And you have to be humble enough to go, okay, I need to go back to God. God, I'm sorry. I want to make sure I'm hearing from you clearly. I thought you said this, God. Would you make sure you speak clearly to me? Maybe you'll start your journey of talking to God and hearing his voice like Gideon did. You know, Gideon gets called to set free of the nation of Israel. And Gideon says, okay, God, if you really want me to do this, I've got a deal for you. I've got this floor, right? And I'm going to put down a fleece. And tomorrow, if the fleece is wet and the floor is dry, I know you want me to do this. And the next day, the fleece is wet and the floor is dry. And what I love about Gideon, he's so human. He's like, God, I've just got one more thing I need to ask you. So, because he's probably started going, or maybe the fleece dries slower than the floor and the, you know, like, and he goes, so one more thing. If you make the fleece dry and the floor wet, then I'll know that that's what you want and it happens. And he goes, all right, I'm game on, okay? And sometimes as humans, we actually have to step out with a little fleece and we go, God, would you just do this? Would you do this? I remember in my teen years, oh, it's so embarrassing. I remember there was a drought happening in Toowoomba, and this is back in the day where they were talking about we're going to recycle our water and drink poo water. It was like this really big. And if you lived in Toowoomba in that time, you remember it, Tim? I mean, it was a big talk conversation. Everyone's like, we don't want to drink that, you know? And I remember there was this drought, and I, as a little kid, I was praying, God, we need rain. And then there was some rain coming, and my dad loves a rain gauge, loves knowing how many millimetres of water fell from the sky, you know? And I remember as a kid, it started to rain. I said, God, if you want to break this drought, may there be this many millimetres in the rain gauge, right? And the next morning, I went out, and there was that many millimetres in the rain gauge. And I was like, that's pretty exciting. So for myself, I was really for myself to go, maybe we'll break the drought. I don't know. And I remember telling my dad at breakfast, and it was on a Sunday morning, but my dad, he's a very faithful man, and he went straight to the pastor. And the pastor gets this young kid up, tell us about it. And I'm like, the drought is broken. You know, like. I don't know if the drought broke or not. I have no idea. Beck, you can picture Dad doing that anyway. Anyway, love Trev. I love Trev. And his faith. Get my son up there. He's a hero. Prayed for breaking the drought. Declare it. Yeah. I believe the drought was broken. All right. So, but you know, I think you can be fair with yourself. Don't get too caught up on like, you know, like you just got to take a little step. God, is that you? God, what would you like me? Every day when you go to work, God, would you speak me and show me someone to love today or encourage today? Or would you give me courage to share the gospel today that God loves them? I was at the Schnitty house just the other week down in Kapalaba. I didn't even know it existed until I needed a Schnitty, you know. In fact, Beck needed a Schnitty and I went to get one. And loves it. Is that like too much? It's the simple things in life. So I'm off to get a Schnitty at the Schnitty house, right? You been there? You had a good Schnitty there? Yeah, many varieties. Many varieties. Kapalaba. Whoa. Anyway, I'm at the Schnitty house and waiting for my schnitty. And the girl that's serving there, she's having a chat. And I just felt like say, hey, and I was, just tell her that Jesus loves her. Now, I'm like, that's so cliche and so 90s. So 90s, isn't it? Like, bring back the bumper sticker. We need beacon stickers that say, yeah, just classic. Bring it back. But I'm like, oh, it's so lame, God. Like, but then I'm like, you know what I'm going to say? And so while I'm waiting, I said, hey, did you know that Jesus loves you? And she goes, what? And I said, oh, now I've got to go deeper. So I'm like, Jesus actually loves you, hey. She goes, how do you know that? And I'm like, he just does. It's like, did you know that he died on a cross and he loves you and he wants the best for you? And you know, he has actually a purpose for your life. She goes, really? What is it? Oh, to sell schnitzels. You're in your path right now. You're in the pipe. No, anyway. And so I said, you know, well, he wants to show you. And I said, we just had this chat. And she goes, thank you for saying that. I've always believed there was more out there, but I've never heard that before. And I thought, how interesting is that? Bring back the 90s. Like, maybe God's just wanting us to use a statement that's been lost in over two decades. Like, teenagers, bring it back. Just Jesus loves you. Like, I realized that this girl in her 20s has never heard it. So if she's never heard it, then maybe all the Redlands has never heard that Jesus actually loves them. So maybe our simplicity could come back to Jesus loves you. And show them love by giving them a tip or something, you know, and actually follow it up with the love of Jesus. But I just found myself thinking, how interesting, you know, like just, oh. I thought, you know what, I need to do more of this. This is great. And I left and said, you know, I hope you have a great time. And it was just a great conversation. Other ways you can hear from God, and we often do this at the start of the year, and this is a really good one. If you're like, God, I don't know how to hear from you. I just want to hear from you. Just pray. God, I just want one word for the next 6 months of my life that could keep me on course to Jesus, you, the cornerstone. I just want to keep following you, Jesus. So just give me one word that will encourage me to stay the course. And it's so interesting. If you pray that right now, there'll be a word that drops in your spirit so quick, you'll go, that's dumb. It couldn't be that. Normally it is that. Because he wants to speak so quick. He's like, oh my gosh, thanks for talking to me. But here's the thing about finding a word too. Don't just stay at the word just being this airy-fairy new age word. Go and find a scripture that you can clamp it to. Go and find a scripture. So for instance, maybe God is saying, I want to be your provider. Provision might be your word for the next 6 months. Go and find a scripture. You might find yourself reading about Abraham and Isaac and Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Go and print that scripture out, put it somewhere in your house and declare it every day, God, you're my provider. That could keep you going for the next 6 months. And God often speaks when you just take the time, simple ways to hear his voice. Remember, if you want him, he lives and resides within you. You are now the new temple, part of the overall body of Christ, the temple, where Christ is the cornerstone. What we're going to do to wrap up, I know we're going a little bit longer, but we're going to wrap up. So it is, we can finish up pretty much now. But what I'd love to do, I just want everyone to understand, because I understand that for some of you, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you need a cochlear implant. You need God just to open your ears, your spiritual ears, and he wants to. And it's a free gift. And so we're actually going to sing Rest On Us, but I've asked the prayer team to come down here and pray for you, that you would have your ears open to the spiritual things that maybe you've never heard before, and you'll actually go into this week with an expectation. I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. I can't get much closer to God than that. And he wants to speak to me, and then when he speaks, step out and be obedient. And if you want that today, you just want prayer to have your spiritual ears open, don't be embarrassed about this, seriously. Just come and receive it. Maybe your ears have become a bit deaf. Maybe you're like, oh, I haven't listened. Maybe you need to be reopened and, you know, tuned in again. Just come down the front right now. We're going to get the prayer team. Just leave your seats and come down the front if you want that, if you want to hear from God. Because I believe God wants to speak to everyone. He wants to speak to you. He honestly does. He wants to speak. So we're going to sing this song. If you need to head off, you can. We're going to just worship God and just go, God, Open my ears. Give me spiritual ears to hear. I want to hear your voice each and every day. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you speak. God, and I thank you you're going to open ears this morning as people step out in faith. Go with them this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.